Hey guys, we are here, the Mindful Surfer podcast.
Hello.
Hello. Liam, how you doing?
Welcome back. I'm all right. How are you, Will?
Mate, I'm good. I'm good.
What's the news, dude? What have you been up to?
The news. Shall I gloat?
You do some gloating.
I'll gloat, because you're opposite me and you haven't been surfing. So, been in Charmouth, which some people on this podcast, shh, don't say anything. It's a secret. It's a secret spot. And it was great. I mean, it's one of those sessions where it's kind of 3 foot, occasional 4 foot sets. Yeah, just no one in. Just peeling, little wraps, little turns. I managed to do a turn like a rail, like a tail slide.
Nice.
Into the pocket. And I was well happy with that. In fact, I was demoing it to you. What was it? Literally 10 minutes ago in the car park. Yep. And I was like looking at me going, oh, yeah.
I'm happy for you, Will.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. I appreciate your happiness for me. And actually, do you know, that's so much of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And this is what we're going to talk about today.
That's it. But I was in on Saturday, so it is one all, isn't it, I suppose? Have you been well, Will?
Dude, I had the shits. Full shits on Saturday. And it is definitely one all, because I was looking at you boys in there thinking, yeah, I just can't do that.
It is bad. So hopefully...
What's the news with you, mate? What's been going on?
Well, so far I haven't had the shits, which is good. although I was wondering whether it was water quality, and I'm sure at some point we'll get back to that and we'll talk about that maybe in a future episode as we look at what we're all sort of dunking ourselves in over the course of our surfing lives. No, it's been a good week. It's been a pretty busy week at work, but when I hit the waves at the weekend, it all sort of was washed away. Got some good Grom time in with one of my little ones and hit a great wave on Sunday. Unexpected wave, quiet wave. We found some quietness, didn't we, Will, away from the...
That was quite a cool example of what we're going to talk about today in these five keys of karma surfing. That's the topic for today. And it's this thing where kind of be authentic about where you want to surf. Because surfing is very location specific, isn't it? Like, you know, you're around the corner of that bay and it's like that. And you go over to that beach and it's like this. And that's the nature of surfing. And so being authentic about where you want to locate your surf experience, whether you want it to be a bit more crowded, but maybe a bit more powerful, or maybe less crowded and maybe less powerful because of that, is up to you, because you have to create your own thing. And when we were in the sea there, we both agreed it was kind of shore dumping a little bit.
Yep.
And it wasn't really working, was it?
No.
And then it was like, right, let's just go around the corner. Let's see what it's like. And lo and behold, it was better. It was peaky. It was cleaner. A bit smaller.
Yes.
Because it's around the corner where we are in our home beach. Because we get, like, there's a more open beach called Jacobs. You go around the corner, you get a more protected beach called Main Beach. Yeah, it just was working in it. Although, actually, just before we start these keys, I've got to tell you, and Liam, you know about this guy called Ivor. And guys, I'm going to be talking about Ivor on this podcast, and he won't mind me mentioning him at all, because he's an absolute legend of our surf town. He really is. He's been surfing Sidmouth for 30, 40 years even. He's still surfing at 58, maybe. And we're going to get him on the show, I'm sure. He's an absolute legend. But he's got this thing where he absolutely hates Main Beach. He loves going to Jacobs because it's less crowded. Yes, it's messier. Yes, it's more powerful, things like that. But it's just less crowded. And you can just often see him just saying, I hate Main Beach. And he's not even from London. Yeah. Yeah. We make up this accent like he's from London. I hate Main Beach. But he does. This is what he's always saying all the time, isn't it? He just really does hate it. But have you surfed with Ivor?
Yeah, it's fine. He's a fit guy, for fitter than me, which is not a difficult thing to be, really. But he's swims, surfs. He's a real man of the sea. And that's great to see. And keeps himself in amazing shape to do the thing he loves.
It's testament to consistency. You consistently stick at these habits and you keep surfing. It's that simple. We're going to come to some of these in a second. So let's crack on, Liam. Let's do this.
Yeah,
so
let's go.
Let's go with number one. And these are the five keys of karma surfing. So for us, number one is don't dwell when it hasn't gone well. Liam, what's your take on that?
Look, I think it's like the same with any sport, isn't it, in a way? It's a tendency when things are going badly and you dwell on that. You really focus on the things that have not gone well for you rather than moving on and seeing what you can do next to better it. And sometimes that sort of sitting in the past can really impact the present and even the future, but particularly, you know, the wave that you've just sort of, in your own mind, nobody else is judging. Remember, this is about, I suppose, surfing like no one's watching and getting yourself into the zone of just enjoying it for your own sake, is not letting what's just gone badly by your own judgment affect the rest of the session, the next wave, because as soon as your mind starts to drift, so does whatever performance, I suppose, you want to do. And that carries, I'm not just saying that about surfing. You see it with footballers and rugby players and golfers and anybody that's sort of, it's a much talked about thing, isn't it? Matthew Saeed's great sports journalist, talks a lot about bottling it. It's almost that kind of thing feeds in. But when you're talking about karmic or mindful surfing, that's actually the very last thing you want to have running through your mind at the time that you're trying to, you know, get away from the world of any bad thoughts, criticism, whatever it might be. So why be hard on yourself when you're doing the one thing you should enjoy, you know? And the ocean isn't judging you, so don't bring people judgment, if you like, back into the water.
It's so true. And what's amazing is, and what we're teaching here is, this is so often we're not even mindful of this.
Yeah.
If I can't be aware of my mind after I've fallen off, then my mind is me. I buy into it. It's unconscious. I'm not noticing that I'm doing it. And the amount of surfers who go to do a turn or go to do anything, like even just take off on a wave, who mess up, like we all do, but then don't notice the kind of negative thought streams that are going on afterwards, like, oh, I'm no good.
And yeah,
I'm obviously shit. And what are people thinking of me? And this must be the wrong board. And, you know, all the negative chatter, if someone's not aware of it, well, then what can you do? Because it's only awareness that can start to sort of help you become more mindful of what's not serving you. And this is never to say that you're then expected to be like, oh, don't worry, buddy, and say that out loud, or say that inside your own head. This is more just, if you can just be aware.
Totally.
That when, you know what I mean? Like when you've messed up, just be aware of just what your body's like after. Completely. Do you get frustrated? Do you get annoyed?
Yeah.
Do you clench your teeth? Do you think thoughts of like, oh, how am I going to surf the next wave? Well, whatever. Like, basically any athlete who's playing any sport, doing any sport, because surfing is, it's just like all sports. You're basically doing something physical. In the end, it requires this amazing ability to let go.
Yeah.
And if you think of the Roger Federers of this world, I think the amazing thing about Federer is, and I think a lot of people would agree, a lot of journalists, a lot of sports scientists would agree, I myself included, I'm in this world of coaching people's minds and bodies. Those last 2 inches upstairs, that is the defining feature of real greatness in what you do on the sports field or on the ocean, wherever. Because Federer will, you know, make a mistake like anyone. He lets go of it.
Let it go.
And he's straight back into the net shot. Now, that is way easier said than done.
All of this is easier said than done, I guess.
Way easier said than done. So so much of the reason why I want to be here with Liam sharing this with you is that anyone listening to this who can just go, oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I do that.
And not actually, because we're on this exploration together, you know, I've tried to surf for many years, you know, talking about it being in and out of the water for, you know, nearly 20 years are different things, but particularly with surfing. And even in that time, it's getting the mind in the right place that helps you improve. And it's not saying that you, by letting it go, you become lackadaisical about any improvements that you want to make. And, you know, we always talk about this kind of, when you're learning anything, this kind of like house of ideas or house, let's say house of surfing, and each room is a different progression. And it's, you know, if you're happy in a particular room, then that's fine. But if you want to get into the next level and you want to sort of try and learn something, and that, of course, is personal to the individual, it's not allowing the mistakes you make. Because if you're not making mistakes, and I say this having made lots of those things in, you know, both business and sport and life, is that if you make mistakes, you learn from them. That's a human construct. And not allowing the mistake, which isn't important in the big grand scheme of the world, so you haven't pulled maneuver. Well, if at least you're trying. And actually, if you're not doing that, maybe you're not trying. And that's worse. Right?
It really could be, dude. And I think that in the end, if you can firstly just notice what your mental approach is going into a surf, first and foremost, are you going in to perform or are you going in to enjoy?
Yeah.
Because of course, they can both be part of the same,
two
sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
In the performing well, you enjoy it more. But also, this is what's interesting about the paradox of that, is if you enjoy it more, you perform better. Mm. So if you can find that right balance between staying loose and relaxed and not really caring too much about how it goes, not dwelling on it, like we said in the first key, but at the same time, still trying to push stuff, you're finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could end up really just enjoying your surfing a lot more. What we'll do now is go on to number two. And what we've got down here is, don't let your mate's energy affect your own.
Yeah, mood hoovers.
Mood hoovers. Now, I'll give you an example. So we were in the sea last night and I was surfing with Liam. Liam is a buzzy, buzzy guy, full of stoke. I'd had the shits and wasn't feeling very well. Real low electrolyte levels and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, in fact, do you remember I was holding onto my board trying to go around the cliff, around the corner. I could barely hold onto it because I was just so weak. But I wanted to go in the water anyway, just because there was a nice little wave.
There's a wave.
You were having a cracking surf and really enjoying your surf. Now, the weird thing with energy is I normally bounce off someone else's energy, they bounce off mine, and it's kind of this upward thing. But when my energy was a bit lower and yours being higher, it then almost didn't make mine lower, but it then made me go, oh geez, yeah, Liam is really buzzing on this and I should which is possibly for me the most unconscious word in the universe.
Terrible.
I should be enjoying this more.
Yes.
But I was just tired.
Can't force it.
Just tired. And so when you're surfing with friends, I mean, what's your take on this, dude?
I think it's like anything in life, isn't it? You start to learn as who do you surround yourself with?
Mm.
And you don't want to go all kind of sort of super fake about it, but positive is a really good thing. And it maybe you describe it as different things, but it's how do you approach it? What's your mindset? Is it an open mindset? Or are you going in with a, you know, I'm going to be grateful for everything that I'm getting here because I am always phenomenally grateful just to be in the sea. It is. I think you find it a lot. And I'm only really speaking from a British context here, except for a lot of places around the coast of Britain. Particular more recently is just noticing in it. I'm always sort of saying I admire people like Ben Gravy because this idea that you can get super stoked off some of the smallest or most novelty waves is something that I'm really big on. You know, if I could be the world's premier small wave surfer, I'd be a happy in the master's class or the veterans class. But this idea that paddle into a break and, you know, there's usually a few people there. And sometimes one of the first interactions that I find, even people I know or strangers will say, after the hello, and we'll come on to talk about greetings when you go surfing, it's a bit shit, isn't it? You know, if it's perceived to be small, it's a bit shit, isn't it?
So true.
Is a very subjective thing, right?
Because massively.
One person's shit is another person's mega. It's just a really interesting opener, whether it's a British thing. I'd love to hear, actually.
It's so, I think it's about, I guess, becoming quite protective over your energy.
Yeah.
Inside your body and mind. And if you get to the car park and a couple of the lads are like, oh shit, and you're feeling so excited and grateful because you're alive, you're about to go in the fucking sea, just staying grounded on that Christ, you're going to be dead one day, and you're just enjoying surfing for goodness sake. And by the way, there's nothing, I don't think it's really important to say, there's nothing wrong with those people who naysay
and have an maybe they've got high expectations,
whatever, that's cool. It's just that I think that there is another way, and you can be so much happier around your surfing if you just kind of approach it mindfully and get to the ocean and go, well, this is what it is. I don't have to label it as either epic and pumping and amazing or shit and not worthwhile me going in. I can just go in with the right board that I need and not let my mates, or so to speak, mates or people that I meet in the car lot affect me, or even the people I see out in the ocean. And you get people come over to you and they've got this face. I've had it so many times, but certain people paddle over to me and they just got this face of like,
it's a bit small.
It's a bit small.
Two times you don't want to hear that is from your wife and from people getting in the water when you're having a good time and you're happy. You know, sometimes you're just going to be happy. Never. It doesn't happen to me. But we don't talk about that on the podcast. but it's a bit small. Well, it just is what it is, isn't it? And we're in there. We might as well enjoy it.
But I think, I'd genuinely be lying if I said I didn't get affected by people's energy. And I think it's always a learning curve and use hindsight to go, oh, yeah, actually, that mate or person did affect my energy, actually, because they weren't having a great time. And I was, and actually I ended up not having as good a time because they were moaning about it and whatever. Or even a friend like yourself who you want to be around, who's having an amazing time, you might not be having a good time and not being into the comparison game of, oh, I should be having more fun because my friend is.
What did you say about comparison?
Tony Robbins quote.
Yeah, I like this.
Comparison is the thief of joy. And it just so is, isn't it?
And look, I think there's another whole other, maybe other podcast theme, show or otherwise, somebody else could do this. Maybe that's why a lot of people are unhappy, because the world we live in, social media, Instagram, look at it with surfing. Every day now you can see people surfing sunny waves, perfect barrels. They look great. They're all happy and tanned and smart. You know, that comparison, that constant comparison, if your mind's not strong enough to deal with that or understand what it is you're dealing with, often it's marketed joy, then you are going to be unhappy.
That's a wonderful expression, marketed joy. Let's lock that down and do that on a future show.
Yeah.
Marketed joy. And it's this WhatsApp groups, you have Facebook groups, you have social media, and people posting surf-related posts for the want of adulation, applause, approval, and not because they're sharing joy in the world.
Totally.
It's just, it's an egoic entity. And I've gotten better, not perfect, but I've gotten better at certain groups that I'm in for surfing to not post. Like today I went, obviously I had a great session and I was even close to posting. I had my phone in my hand. I was looking at the sea and there was a lovely set coming in, this beautiful little left, like barreling left. In fact, I was zooming in and I was going, what am I doing? That's 20 seconds. I'm not going to get back from my life that I didn't spend in the ocean taking a photo. And it's not to say that there's anything wrong with that, because clearly, with our social media, the Mindful Surfer, we're going to be doing posts. It's not that. It's just to say, you know, notice if you've got a friend who has scored a session, you haven't, you've had 2 weeks without being in the water or whatever, just notice your energy. And the more mindful you become of it, the better you can become at remaining
completely.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you want to follow us on social media, you'll find us on Facebook or Instagram at The Mindful Surfer Podcast, where we'll share updates on how to keep your mind calm, your body energized, so you can get the most stoke from your wave riding experience. Now, back to the podcast. This is number three in the five keys to calmer surfing. Work on your fitness. Now, dude, who is this guy that you...
Well, there's a lot of people out there doing fitness. Mm-hmm. I went to Portugal recently. This is not about marketed joy.
Yeah, you're doing it now, dude. You're doing it right now.
I'm a really low user of social, and I follow a fair few people on Instagram, and I've been checking out this guy for a long time. I didn't know who he was, but he has this technique called power surf. And I was chatting to a Brazilian guy who, Matheus Beck, if I can say, he was one of the coaches when I went to this surf lodge in Portugal. And I said, hey, have you seen this guy? He's doing, you know, there's a lot of these sort of yogic movements and almost like this sort of Brazilian natural gymnastics that you do to get your body moving in a very natural way when you're trying to learn something like a sport, and it's particular to surfing. And I'd seen a few of these really cool clips on YouTube and Instagram of these surf schools where actually a lot of the work was done on mats and then on surf skates. And I was explaining to this guy what I'd seen and whether he knew about it, and he said, oh yeah, this is one of the things I'll be coaching. And Rodrigo Machado, who's been developing and has been sort of putting this out there for, I think, about 20 years. It's not a new thing, but it's becoming more and more, for me anyway, it's more on my radar. It's all about, you know, how much time do you actually spend on a wave when you're in the ocean?
Mm.
You know, if you have a 3-hour session and you're on the wave, I don't know, let's say even 10 seconds, how many waves are you actually getting? How many, when it comes back to practice and, you know, making mistakes, you've got to make mistakes to learn. What Rodrigo's done is this kind of concept of get the movements. Take those movements on land, and then you can practice them every day. You can practice 2-3 hours a day with those movements. And you take that onto a surf skate. You don't have to wait for waves. Most people have concrete around. And you take these movements onto a surf skate. So it's all about getting yourself fit in your mind, muscle memory, and fit in your body. We all need to be fit. We obviously talk about getting the mind in the right place, but I'm a live example of this. You got to get fitter to get better. And I'm on that sort of progress as well. Once you get there, once you're in the ocean, all of this muscle memory starts to kick in, and then you can start making improvements and applying that to the real world of surfing. Now, I personally would love to go and do one of these power surf courses. I know we talked about it earlier as well, but it's all about, are you fit enough? And personally, you know, Will's a very fit guy. He's helped me with my fitness as we've been surfing. But I know some of the things I couldn't do 18 months ago, if I'm honest with myself, is because wasn't fit enough.
Dude, it's been a huge change in seeing you grow in that way, and or shrink, should I say, in the other way too, because you've lost body fat as well as grow in strength, mental strength, physical strength. It has been a profound shift. I remember the start of when you'd move back down in the ocean, you were getting, I don't know, 2-4 waves a session, and you must be getting sometimes 20 to 30 now. Mm. And yeah, it's testament to just basically getting in the ocean, no matter what the conditions, and taking your body as far as it can go mindfully, because that's what we're discussing here. It's kind of improve your fitness, do it mindfully. So push your body as far as it can under the proviso of save something for the next day.
Yeah.
So often when I was younger, I used to either absolutely blitz myself in the gym or absolutely blitz myself in the ocean and not leave anything spare for the next day. And then often injuries would creep in. And I never quite kind of worked on the imbalances in my fitness that needed work on that weren't so obvious.
Yes.
It was subtle. It was like I was always trying to work on fitness, and never really kind of mobility and never so much core and balance and the holistic nature of fitness. And in doing so, I'm way calmer, way happier in the ocean, because what I can do now is I can happily catch fewer waves in a session because I'm enjoying the waves more. I come away more satisfied.
Way more.
So yes, it's still a workout. Yeah. Surfing in England, it's relentless. You've got to be fit for that. And geez, it's very stressful. I'll say very stressful. It's stressful, I feel, when you just don't have that fitness in the sea and you're getting hammered.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you find? Do you find that kind of...
Yeah, I mean, that's still with me. I've still got a long way to go, and you know, it gets tougher as you get older. But I mean, you're talking about Ivor is a good example of that. If you keep going and you train and you try, you can push through it. So part mental, part physical. There are still frustrations that come with it when you're exhausted. Will sort of catch any wave that he paddles for. But if I've caught one and then I've got an immense paddle out again, I need a breather, even if the next wave that's coming is the best of the day. You know? So, but that, again, as long as you're accepting that that's just that moment in time, and the more you practice, the better you'll get, or you give yourself the best chance, and then you're not dwelling on anything. It comes back to what we were saying earlier, then surely improvements. And I think everybody should improve, but by your own stated aims, really, rather than letting somebody else dictate to you what it is that you should be doing.
Yeah, well said.
You've got to have that motivation.
Beautiful, dude. And what we'll do now is kind of, I'll go through what I think is my take on intermediate going towards advanced in fitness and how it's helped me. And then Liam, I'd love you to share your kind of, say more kind of beginner towards intermediate.
Yeah.
Notice how I stumbled over that because I was unsure if you'd want to punch me from across the microphone for thinking you were a beginner once, but there you go. And
I've only got short arms. It's a long reach.
From my standpoint, maybe you should be the one to say, well, actually, no, dude, you're not intermediate going to advanced. Dude, you're definitely beginner. So maybe we should start having this out now, dude. You know, if we're gonna have this relationship of being open on this podcast, I mean,
I mean, this is my sort of benchmarks, and you know, I see people like Will as advanced, but you know, then I'm watching not Rodrigo Machado, Rob Machado, and maybe then we'll sort of knock him down a few pegs.
And quite justly, dude. I think if anyone,
yeah,
I think barring Kelly or you know John or somewhere, if you compare yourself to Rob Machado, I think you're going to feel like a bit like a robot that's taken a shit on a surfboard most of the time. You're going to be in poo. You're going to feel like you're in poo stance with wooden arms. You know, whatever.
Fluid, that guy.
Oh God, unbelievable. For me, the key takeaway, kind of for yourself, if you're listening to this and you're kind of in that intermediate range, look into yoga if you've not done. Also, then look into how your snap is working. So that's like tricep, chest, shoulder power. And yes, it's kind of things like clap press ups on the floor, but actually, it's sometimes a little bit more technical than that. I remember a buddy of mine showing me an exercise for my triceps. I used to sort of do my triceps with quite a wide grip, like with dumbbells or press ups and stuff. And eventually, actually, this was also yourself. You showed me, Liam. It's a much narrower hand position for your press-ups. And to work on them with that explosive nature. So rather than just doing press-ups, but just bring your hands right in. Because if you're snapping onto a surfboard, it's quite a close grip, depending on how wide your board is, obviously. It tends to be quite a close grip. So it's much more tricep-orientated as opposed to like chest and shoulder. Although they're important as well. And then the final bit is hip mobility. And that's massage rolling. That's stretching. You know, that your inner thighs. That's your hamstrings. Your glutes, and really just sticking to a disciplined routine, because the reason why this can make you feel so much calmer to work on your fitness is fairly obvious in one way. You're gonna find yourself feeling more well just in life in general. So that's just a sense of well-being that comes from within in general. But also, just remember, it's like a why. You know, the why is for me when I'm going to snap. The work that I've put in on dry land, it just means that I just enjoy more because I'm getting down the line a bit further. I'm doing more maneuvers. I'm spending more time on the wave. And then when I want to get out the back, I get out the back a little bit quicker. And these are all very obvious things, but because they're not discussed so often by surfers, I think funnily enough, with surfing, it's one of the sports where people just go, oh yeah, I just surf, whatever. And we try to be very cool about it, but actually, there's so much work you can do on land, which may look kooky, but geez, it has a huge effect when you get in the ocean.
I completely agree. And actually, this is what, you know, this Matthias Heck and Rodrigo Machado were saying, is that this power surf technique is all about land-based continual repetition of exercise. And, you know, I've tried to put a few of those things in there and I need to go and do the full course, but it is absolutely, you start to think about it then in the ocean. So you're right, you know, previously you're doing these moves in a full winter suit on a beach in the southwest of England and you're on Kook of the Day next to their Instagram feed, but really it's overlooking that. So what, you know, who gives a shit what people think? If you're warming up in the right way to get yourself ready for your session, then that's all that matters. And if it's making improvements that you yourself want to make, then eat all the better.
The better, dude. And it comes back to being authentic and not worrying about what people think, about the way you look and what you do and all these things. And I think that's not necessarily ever about getting rid of thoughts, about wondering who's seeing me, what's going on, does that person know I'm doing this, whatever. It's more just noticing them.
Yeah.
Becoming aware of your own mind and be a kook on the beach that does a ton of funky stretches and weird things, and be a kook who does foam rolling after a 3-hour drive down from London to get waves on your lower back. You know, basically just be authentic about what you know you need to do for your own body to make your surfing calmer, basically. Dude, just to finalize on this, what's your going from sort of beginner to intermediate in the progressions that you made? Because clearly, dude, I mean, absolutely, you've progressed massively from what I would consider beginner, which is, yes, a lack of fitness, but that lacking fitness sort of predetermining your lack of ability to kind of get in the right place on the wave, because you're taking off very late and often missing waves as well.
Yes, completely.
But having seen you progress in your fitness, it's been, you're getting more waves. So that means you're getting out the back quicker. But when you're taking off, you're not taking off so late, because your power in your arms is getting you onto the wave phase. So it means you're sort of not having to take such a steep drop. So it means you know, your feet are in a better place and you're getting down all the line. So I've seen it really evidently. What's your take, dude, on the sort of key takeaways someone could implement?
Exactly that. I mean, the thing that sort of brought me back into the fold, and as I say, long way to sort of get up and out into where I would like to be, and for my for the enjoyment of surfing, is all the way back to that repetition, practice, practice, practice. But whatever you're doing, it's only sometimes in, it's only when you get, I've talked to Will a lot about this idea that you kind of, the next level of whatever you're doing, whether it's playing a piano or a guitar, or you're learning a language, or you're learning a sport, or whatever it is. You don't know what you can't do sometimes until you start doing bits of it. And it starts with a tiny little bit. And then it's practice and practice and practice until you can do that better and better and better. That takes discipline, and I can be very ill-disciplined and a bit lazy when it comes to that in all of those aspects that I've just mentioned. Once the door is ajar into that next room, and like Will's saying, you know, better takeoffs, better feet position, more movement on the face of the wave, getting back to where the power source of the wave is as well, which was had eluded me for a long time, and sort of coming back and back more and more.
I did see spray.
Yeah, well.
I did see heel turn spray.
I can't see it in this. There's a few local chaps in this carve edition that I've got on the desk here, but nobody seemed to snatch that one spray of the year from me. Devastated. But no, it's about that combined with fitness. And I think that's what I like about this this guy Rodrigo in some ways, and I'm using him just as an example of this. There'll be lots of people do it. Is practicing outside of the waves, whether it's on an indoor board for balance, yoga for strengthening and stretching, which I have to try and do a lot more of with my aching limbs these days, particularly with hip mobility and leg and glute strength. And then taking that into sort of functional maneuvers that are on the land, nicking the kids' surf skates and going for a blast as well on a dry day. And all of that, actually, that's what's got me willingness to keep getting back in the sea. So if you can't, you know, if you're not lucky enough, and we are blessed, even though we're not, you know, we've not got back door outside at the bottom of our garden.
And I like that, blessed, not lucky. I like that.
We're blessed with this idea that we have available ocean, whether the waves are useless in some people's parlance, or whether they're brilliant, you know, wherever your scale of how good it is, to be able to get in. And that is getting in and practicing is the biggest thing for me. If you haven't got that, and I appreciate, you know, I was one of those people who for, you know, 15 to 18 years thought I was surfing, but actually I could only get snatches of it whenever I was back in the Southwest or up on the Northeast coast. If you can't get that regularly, then you've got to practice somewhere. So you might as well get that yogic movement or that surf skate movement in there. And when you then finally do get back into the ocean, your body sort of knows what it's trying to do a bit more.
Dude, big time. Yeah. Goes far as saying, and I forgot to mention this as another big takeaway, but the surf skate.
Yeah.
Just to what a difference that can make. And we'll leave some show notes here for links for various brands who provide surf skates, because there's a real range in pricing at the moment.
Top to bottom, yeah.
Seems like it really varies. I mean, the one you had the other day was crazy. It was like a...
Yeah, I mean...
20 quid?
25 quid. I mean, look, we'd have to look into how well these things are properly made and sustainability and all that sort of thing. I'll put that caveat in there. But this as an entry level, because I think we will get onto price sensitivity. You know, I was going to talk about the fact that at some point equipment is so expensive, and Will is a real, you know, he loves his new equipment, boards, suits, gloves, boots. And
my wife loves that too.
Yeah. And I'm a bit of a sort of make do amend, so, you know, stinky wetsuits and all things that are falling apart and things I can't paddle in anymore. But I do have a, you know, it's looking at what the range of prices are, so you can get new people and kids into surfing as well. And that surf skate thing for me, from the very top end, some brilliant, you know, Carver and Slide and Surf Skate and all of those brands at the top, and then some of the stuff at the bottom, just to get that fluidity of movement that you can take into the sea.
Dude, absolutely.
And I love a surf skate now.
Dude, absolutely. And what we'll do, in fact, this has inspired me, because we could do various other shows next week. It's such a great topic. I'd love to dive much further into that with you. But it's actually, you know, how do you mindfully approach purchasing as a surfer,
yeah,
and approach kind of board choice, wetsuit choice, travel, just how do you manage your surf lifestyle, yes, basically, and mm, how can you kind of get more out of it, maybe save money, maybe mm, spend money where you might have held back,
yes,
but it could, you know, actually aid your happiness, because yeah, actually we know that you can't buy happiness, money can't buy happiness, but it can certainly buy a brand new surfboard that could really that improve rips, your happiness,
yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll give loads of links and loads of ideas in how to manage that, because I think it's a whole topic,
yes,
really quite deep topic that takes off from there, so we'll maybe save that for next week. But
I agree.
That's great. So, dude, let's go to number four. So this is number four on the five keys to calmer surfing. And it's authentically locate your surfing. I'll give a very, very hands-on example. From the age of maybe 22, 23, I've really surfed. I always boogie boarded when I was growing up. Mainly played rugby.
Mm-hmm.
It's my background. Got to pretty high level and really, really enjoyed it. And when I got into surfing, it was like, wow, this is for me. This isn't for my ego mm, that wants to make dad mm, proud and mm, all that stuff. That was yes, why I was playing rugby, if I'm truthful.
Yes.
As part of that soul journey, in a way, what I started to notice was that I was like, well, get to the beach. And it's like, why is everyone by the rocks there? There's a certain beach we mm, surf.
Yeah.
And then you start to learn. It's like, oh, okay, it is better there. The waves, they kind of...
Hey, hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you want to make sure you never miss a show, head on over to themindfulsurfer.com. Sign up to our weekly newsletter and we'll update you on the latest shows. Now, back to the podcast.
On a beach, mm, then hustle.
Mm.
But I can do it because I've got the surf fitness for it. Mm. It's just mentally, I don't enjoy it that much because it's just so many egos, so many personalities, different boards. And I find it quite challenging. Now, there are certain days where you have to, if you want to score a session, you know, deal with a crowd and that's life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just remain mindful. Just because you got to the beach and it's really busy at point A, it doesn't mean that point A is going to be a mm, better surf than point B. Because mm, point B might look mm, a bit shit, mm, it's a bit messier and whatever. But if you're able to feel calmer and just enjoy and express yourself and just get whatever wave you want,
mm-hmm,
well, firstly, your wave count
absolutely,
will be way higher. Yeah, you'll yeah, get fitter because yeah, you'll be doing way more surfing.
Yeah.
Again, this is just for you to digest.
And maybe we'd like to hear, you know, if you've got an idea of where do you like surfing, we'd like to hear about it, wouldn't we? You know, why? The why? Are you a busy bee? You know, do you like that crowded break where everybody's competing for the waves and you've got to sort of navigate the paddle out because it's not just the waves that are coming down on you, it's sort of boards and bodies or are you a sort of quiet surfer? I really am a sort of crowdless. I love being in, you know, with buddies who go and surf as well and, you know, in whatever form. And we have a really nice crew down here that you kind of see the faces and that's fun, you know, when those guys are in the water.
Mm.
And nothing for me is like one, two, three people in the water and a really nice, easy break. And you enjoy it. You're sharing that joy together. So, yeah, I'm crowd averse. If I have to, then, of course, you know, you've got to go and get a wave. But, you know, there are times, particularly in the summer and you go, you know, when you've got more people in this region and finding a quieter place on a good day is tricky. That leads into a whole other topic of, you know, where are people getting their joy, what boards are using, you know, what behavior in the water is like, you know, in the summer months. And if I can find a quiet spot, and Will and I will often, as I said, we said last time, Will will run down to that quiet spot and I will sort of jog along behind and eventually get there. But it's, yeah, I think there is joy in the solitude sometimes of yeah, surfing for me. But that's just a personal thing.
It's just personal in the end.
Yeah.
And this is not to say that you should do anything.
Yeah.
Should it, like I said, I mean, this is that word should. I mean, goodness me, could there be a more unconscious word? It stinks of shit. It really does. It's just a horrendous word. You should go here. Well, you know, if you want to, you could.
Mm.
Could might be a slightly more mindful word, but I think that...
It went like should off a shovel.
It's good, dude. Yeah. It's good. That's proper. That's yeah, proper one-liner yeah, territory.
That's almost Alan Partridge, that.
It's up there, dude. I've got to say, it's up there. But it's this point where, you know, some people listening to this maybe go, well, yeah, that's lucky for you.
Yeah.
But no matter where I go,
mm,
it's crowded. You know, mm, you might live in Southern California.
Yes.
Or the Gold Coast. I mean, arguably, bits of Cornwall. I was just about to say bits of Cornwall, but nah, that's not true because Cornwall, it's just so many open stretches of beach. Yeah. And it's certainly in winter as well.
Yes,
it's,
yeah.
Not everyone's in the sea, obviously,
yeah,
and the waves are just messy at places. And therefore, if it's a bit messy, you'll probably find uncrowded. But I mean, yeah, the point of where I'm trying to go is this: it's to say that if you're there listening to this and you just feel like you have a mm, belief that no matter where you go, it's going to be crowded. Well, again, this is not me to tell you that you know you're wrong, because clearly, whatever the reality in your life mm, is presenting.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hopefully encouraging you to do is just contemplate on what your belief system
mm,
is manifesting.
Mm.
Because it's quite amazing how the universe works. And if you are perpetually in, oh, it's always crowded everywhere. Well, you'll probably keep finding crowds.
Yes.
That's just my belief. Yeah. And you, again, I mean, you might have, be listening to me going, guy's an absolute idiot. What a weirdo.
It's looking what's good for you. And my biggest fear, although I love watching the clips of it, is the wedge. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes.
And it is, I think it's California, and you see all of the guys down there, you know, Kalani, Rob and Blair Conklin, and all these guys,
Jamie O,
kind of go and visit it. And, you know, but that sort of crowd and that gnarliness of that sort of big dumping wedge of a shore break really is fascinating for me to watch. I can spend hours watching people sort of drop and fall and, you know, nearly crush themselves. But the idea of me getting joy from being in there, it's a long way from where I'm at, both from an ability perspective, but actually more from a sort of mindset. Although I'd love to go and check it out, you know, but surfing, it was the heights of what it can get to with the crowds that seem to be in there looks like a mayhem.
It is amazing how far it can go. And I've surfed in really crowded lineups before in Bali, as I'm sure many of you who are listening to this who have been to Bali or maybe want to go to Bali or Indonesia. You know, it's still the surf mecca of the world, really, for just lots of reasons. But, you know, people talk about Bali being, you know, crazy crowded these days. It was crowded when I was going. I've been four times for a good amount of time each time. And the mindset in the end was just an acceptance that most places I would go would be really busy. And that's not my authentic thing, which is what we're pointing out here in number four, is authentically locate your surfing. So some people might, excuse me, then argue, well, why would you go there? Why would you go to Bali then, Will, if that's not authentically where you would actually want to surf? Well, I'll tell you what, in hindsight, the answer is I wouldn't go back to Bali.
Yeah.
Probably. Depending on where I was going to surf, or if I can maybe go to some of the outer islands or the Mentawai ways or wherever. But you learn about it from life, from living life.
Mm.
And for me now, as I'm getting older and maybe a little bit wiser and definitely calmer in my surfing and happier, when I choose a surf trip now, I'd rather go somewhere where the waves weren't quite as good, but it's going to be uncrowded.
Yeah.
And or maybe just with a couple of buddies.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's that social aspect. I'm getting the stoke off other friends. It's the physical, the fitness. It's being in the ocean. And yeah, obviously, I'm a surfer. Mm. Of course I want the waves to pump.
Mm.
That overriding my well-being is not what I do anymore.
Mm.
I'd rather have high well-being and surf as opposed to surf and have any drop in well-being because I'm having to deal with loads of other people or whatever.
Yeah.
Just for sake of slightly better waves. So,
and that's what we're trying to talk about, right? Is this mindfulness in surfing and kind of how do you get that right? And, you know, all of the other good stuff obviously feeds into it, but sharing a bit of what the thoughts are around that kind of mindset and where's your happy?
Where's your happy? Yeah. Absolutely. Well said, dude. And let's finish on the last one.
And mine would have been surfing earlier.
Yeah, quite.
Yeah. That's why Will's happy.
That's why I'm happy, because I located myself just
I've been working.
So number five, we're just going to pose a bit of a question here, and it's, what is your pre-surf ritual?
Mm.
Ask you, Liam, why do you think having a ritual could be good at it?
Joking wise, before I go into the sort of deep stuff and my whole approach, things like this, is to say my pre-surfing ritual is usually to be shouting around the house, where the fuck is my dry rash vest? Why is the wetsuit still hanging outside on the wall and not inside in the dry? You know, why are there woodlouse in my boots in the winter and all this stuff? Finding a warm, wet place to be. If I kind of can just push that ritual, you know, being down in the beach, I'm trying a little bit more to, again, come back to this appreciation of where I am before I go in. So often, you race in, you get in, you paddle out, and you might not have warmed up properly physically, but mindset-wise, it's trying to keep this idea that of gratitude for being given this ocean to play in. To go in and sort of start the connection, if you like, between where I've been, if almost like if we can call it the real world, and where you're going, which is into this sort of very, for me anyway, and not, it's not 100% of the time. I'm not like I'm floating around like a sort of karmic version of Rob Machado, the kooky karmic version of Rob Machado, is more about, you know, from the real world outside and off the beach into this kind of world of, for me, tranquility, peace, calm, stoke, joy, all of that stuff. So the pre-surf ritual is trying, because I don't always get there, become aware that's where I'm going and that's what I'm going to be doing. And then hopefully all of those other bits that we talk about, didn't get the best wave, oh my God, why am I on this board today? God, I'm getting beaten up all the time by the surf. Oh, my back's killing me. I'm not fit enough to, you know, if I get that ritual of mindset right, those things don't creep in.
It's really good, dude. It's kind of relates. The thought I had when you were just saying that was how it relates to intention.
Mm.
my ritual is always very much have the surf I'll have.
Yeah, it's a great way of looking at it.
And that's a definite ritual of mindfulness and being present and not getting kind of anxious and stressed, because it can be very, it can really bring off a lot of stress, the pre-surf bit. Because
and nerves.
There's nerves. There's, I've not been in the water for 5 days. Mm. There's, or let's say a few weeks if you don't live by the coast, or you've been injured, or let's say it looks a bit crowded or whatever. It's getting your mind in the right place to just go in and surf with what the surf will be.
Mm.
It's a very zen approach. And for me, it's made a huge difference. Well, A, firstly, how much calmer I feel before going in. But then B, and this is just a very strong belief I had, just how much more enjoyment I get out of it when I'm in there. If someone gets in the way, I let it pass, because I've set that intention to just kind of have the surf I'll have, as opposed to the one that I expect to have.
Yes.
I'm not perfect at all. Yeah. Of course I'm not. But like what you were saying, Liam, and I'll get pissed off with people, or I'll get pissed off at my equipment, or maybe I should be surfing over there or whatever. But it's always this thing of going back to, am I learning?
Yes.
Am I learning about what I'm doing with my mind and how it's affecting my surfing? And that's it. It's not much more complex than that. It's just you getting to know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ritual for me. And it's a very powerful why. It goes very deep. And I think also it relates to kindness, gratitude, compassion for fellow humans, for your own life, for being there and staying humble to it all. Because it's so easy for that ego to take over.
Yeah.
Of like, the waves should be like this, and I should have that board. And it's very easy to start separating yourself from your soul.
Yeah.
And from life and how wonderful it actually really is. And it's very, very easy to do, because the ego, here's a Wayne Dyer quote, it's the ego is a droplet within the ocean, believing it is the ocean.
Yeah.
And of
course, that's great.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Believing it is the ocean. And of course, it's just merely that droplet within an entire vast ocean of soul and consciousness and whatever you want to call it, universe. Yeah. Because, it's hilarious how quickly it tries to separate itself. And he's right, she's wrong, that's good, that's bad. Label, label, label.
Yeah, labels.
Expectations, attachments, all these kinds of things. And this is what we do. But becoming aware of yourself and mindful as a surfer in that way, I think is so much about creating that ritual. What for yourself, dude, on a real hands-on level, do you do nowadays to just kind of get in that headspace before it, or physical space?
Well, the physical space, I very much kind of taking the snippets of what the power surf coaches are doing, you know, so Rodrigo Machado, not Rob, Rodrigo. I'll keep talking about both of those people. But so I've looked at the snippets that they do, and I try and mobilize and warm up when I can. So I go through that in terms of those functional moves to stretch and mobilize. And they're all based on the moves that you should. Certainly I'm not doing yet in the water. There's where you want, where I want to be. So that's one thing. And then mindset, I think nerves for me still play a part from all of the things that we've mentioned, you know, crowds, what people expect. It's still there. I'm not sort of some Yoda style kind of mind Jedi or anything like that, where I can put all that to one side. I still, you know, you still worry about sometimes what people think about you and whether you're surfing right and where you're surfing and how and so on and so forth. So it's trying to breathe and overcome those nerves, particularly when we go to new breaks or you're surfing in the new places and you're not a known quantity. It's a bit easier here because familiarity makes it a bit less like that. But it is a combination of, that appreciation of what I'm going to be doing. That's the mind. So the mind, right place, ritual, what am I going to do, and how, thank you for what we have. And then body, some of these movements now. So that's how it goes. And then we're in. None of it comes off. But as we're going back, as we're going back to the beginning, I am not dwelling on that, because it's all practice. You know, if you're wiping out, if you're making mistakes, whatever you're doing, for me, as I'm going in through the next, you know, trying to peek through the next door of the room I want to be in with my surfing, that for me is the key. You know, I want to make those mistakes, because otherwise you're not trying the things that you can't yet do.
Dude, it's really, really cool. And, you know, we'll wrap up today on that. Dude, let me say, it's just been so much fun chatting with you about these kind of things.
I love it.
It's really, really cool. Yeah. And I've been in the online journey for a good amount of years teaching mindfulness. It's very different and very special when you get to actually talk with someone. I've always recorded stuff myself. And so thank you, mate. It's good fun.
Yes, thank you.
Really good fun. We're going to come in with next week, and we're talking about lifestyle, equipment.
Yes.
How to manage your money with your surfing, your life in that way, like family potentially.
Yes.
So we'll talk all about the kind of lifestyle of surfing.
Yep.
and how to feel happier around it, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, all those things.
All of those good things.
And we'll do, like, you know, add in some board reviews and, and kind of equipment choices, and kind of, should you go for, you know, maybe holding out for that brand new board you know you'll definitely love and want, or do you kind of dive in and go, oh, quickly get a secondhand one that you might not love as, I don't know, whatever. So we'll go through all the ins and outs of that and how to manage that. And
look forward to the next one.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye.